Hello, everyone, and welcome to COE Mobility. And this is episode number 3. And I am your host, Justin Joseph, the editor-in-chief of ProjectCOE.com. Now, I do want to keep this particular recording relatively short. I'm only going to cover one subject matter, and it's one that I'm sure that all of you have had the chance to inform yourselves about. If you have yourselves tuned in to our website, ProjectCOE.com, earlier today, this morning, I believe, Jared Nickel had posted an article about this very subject matter. And if that doesn't clue you in, I am talking about the, I'm not really sure how it's pronounced, but I guess just for now at least, I'll say the Ouya, which is basically Booyah without the B, which is, I think, how even the people who are designing this machine are saying how it should be pronounced. So this episode is about the Ouya, and it's very interesting. I mean, the company itself is head by a lady who formerly worked for IGN. I don't remember her name. I didn't actually write that down, and I probably should have. But either way, one of the former employees of that company decided to form her own. And this Ouya project showed up several days ago on Kickstarter, you know, that that organization that is intended to help, you know, just entrepreneurs, independent, business-minded people to be able to ask the general public for funding, you know, for the ideas that they have, for the projects that they're trying to get off the ground, but they lack, you know, the financial resources and that's basically the monetary backing to be able to do that kind of stuff. So when it comes to this Ouya, it's very fascinating because it actually, once again, set the new record for, I think, first day funding. I believe that the company originally was asking for a little bit over $900,000, if I'm not mistaken, probably between $950,000 and $975,000. I don't remember the exact number. And once again, I failed to write that stuff down, so you can always laugh at me for failing to adequately prepare for these things. But either way, that's exactly what they asked for. But instead of them, you know, kind of biting their nails and wondering if people would even be interested, if they would respond at all, well, let's just say people have responded to this. And once again, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but on the first day of this fundraising being in effect, they raised over, I think, $1.2 million. It might have been $2 million, I'm not sure. But either way, it's a lot of money and a lot more than they originally asked for. So if nothing else, that in of itself tells you that people and gamers especially, who this is obviously targeted to, are especially interested in this project, not just becoming, you know, a reality, but for it to be a very long-term, long-term product available in the marketplace. So this is kind of an interesting thing, an interesting revelation, the Ouya. Obviously, we know, what are the details about this thing? Well, it is what they're calling it now is a console that is driven by the Android operating system, so, you know, the open source operating system that Google themselves designed and is obviously right now most popularly used on smartphones and tablets, and they do have, like, their Chromebooks and what have you, but primarily it's smartphone and tablets that this operating system is on. But now this Ouya console is going to have Android 4.0, and when they intend to launch it sometime next year, I believe in March, I believe, is what Jared told me. So Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich, and of course I'm sure that the people responsible for this machine would make it so that it could always be upgraded to the next, the latest and greatest Android operating system. So I would assume that there's nothing to worry about there. In terms of specs, so it's also going to be equipped with the Tegra 3 quad-core processor chip, which is also in a handful of smartphones and tablets that run Android even as I speak. It will also have the 1 gigabyte of RAM, 8 gigabyte of internal memory, which is kind of interesting, I guess, you know, with having the USB 2.0 port, that it also will come with, that there's really not a huge need for a large internal storage capacity, so kind of makes sense, I guess. In addition to an HDMI port that will allow for 1080p video output to your television screen or whatever monitor it is that you use. And then you have the typical, you know, Wi-Fi and the BGN protocols that it supports, in addition to Bluetooth and the wireless controller, which, oddly enough, they have not fully revealed yet. It's only the right side of the controller, which has a right analog nub and the four face buttons, but you can't really see any other parts of it, you know, because I'm aware that there's supposed to be a touch screen along the lines of, you know, what the Wii U controller will eventually have. I mean, it's not a tablet, of course, but it's supposed to have a touch screen interface on it in the middle of it as well. So, from the technical standpoint, that's what the Ouya is going to be built with. Now, I just have to say, you know, it's great that this has come out, you know, and it's great that this this idea has come to fruition and it's received the necessary funding and you know, that much more so than was even desired in the first place. It's great to see that. However, I do want to caution. I mean, I'm not about to criticize people who have already decided, you know, to plunk down the $100 that they ask for per funding donation in order to actually acquire, you know, the pre-ordering of your own console and controller whenever this thing eventually releases next March, if that in fact does even take place. I'm not going to criticize those people at all, but I do think that just like anything else, the Ouya could be the victim of, or should I say, the people who are investing in this Ouya and are desiring it to have it themselves, they could be falling victim to what I call the hype train. And, you know, it's obviously not an original term, but nonetheless, still true and relevant, I believe. It's understandable. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in hype, you know, whether about an upcoming video game, you know, be that Mass Effect 3, which obviously that caused an uproar, or a movie such as Batman Rises coming out in just a couple of weeks, or as, you know, it typically is the case with a brand new video games console or portable system. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement that initially, you know, boils up and causes people to, you know, get into a frenzy of like, oh, you know, this is going to be great, and, you know, and to heck with anybody else that thinks otherwise, you know, and things along those lines. But nonetheless, in the next several minutes or so before I go into my wife's work, which is actually where I am right now, parked outside, I wanted to just go ahead and run down, and I do thank a couple of sources, that being PC World and GameSpot, because I'm not going to allow myself to be called out for any kind of plagiarizing here. I do want to thank them, because I decided to scour a couple of websites for their particular insight on what would eventually be the pros and cons of this machine in general. So I'll definitely insert some of my own personal comments and opinions, of course, with the handful of these items, but for the most part, this entire list comes from those two particular publications, so don't come, you know, yelling at me if you happen to hear everything I'm about to say. It's like, oh, you know, GameSpot and PC World said that first. Well, yes, they did. So just leave me alone as a result of this admission. Either way, so some of the pros of this machine. Obviously, it has wildly attracted donors. I mean, you have, I saw it on the Kickstarter, I think it's up to about 35,000 people, and it's actually total, from a financial standpoint, over $4 million now. And they still have until, like, I think middle of August for this to actually run out. And obviously, they've already met their goal of $900,000. They've wildly attracted a lot of people, and that's never a bad sign. So that's a very simple strength right from the get-go. And then with it being, driven by Android, it's pretty clear that the industry as a whole, you know, video games especially, that software developers, whether they're corporations or indie developers, they're becoming more and more familiar with, you know, with Android in general as time has passed. And that is, again, never going to be a bad thing. So as people, you know, learn the ins and outs of this operating system, they can take better advantage of it, optimize, you know, their software to take the fullest advantage of it as possible. And then subsequently, when all is said and done, have a great machine run by very effective software. And that's very well what the Ouya could ultimately become. And then, interestingly enough, it's also going to be hackable. And it's further fascinating, you know, interesting, whatever, that the company that's designing this machine themselves are encouraging people to do that, you know, to root the machine so that they gain, you know, full permission over it, in addition to, you know, being able to install whatever it is that they would want to on it, apps-wise, you know, whatever. That's a very intriguing element to this project, and it could very well, you know, this machine just explode, especially for people who have been waiting for a box like this that would be able to play, you know, like their favorite retro games or just anything for that matter. Like, you know, the Ouya could very well become a completely different machine depending on who has it in their hands, and that's a very interesting concept. But then when it comes to the people who will actually be officially developing for this machine, you know, the actual, you know, the developers of the very popular applications that are available for Android devices, they're going to have access to incredibly inexpensive development kits. And that is easily one of the biggest obstacles, I think. And I mean, it's not even my it's of course not just my opinion, but it's obvious that in the console market space, especially today, you know, with the Wii and the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, it costs a lot of money for people to develop software for it. And not just that, then you have the licensing fees, the eventual retail fees, you know, royalties, even publishing for that matter, because, you know, smaller companies, smaller developers, smaller groups of people that, you know, aren't rich just do not have the option to go that route with their talents. So having inexpensive development kits is going to be a humongous attraction for these people. And then when it comes to how the business model is going to pan out for this Ouya, it's going to be all free-to-play, at least to a certain degree. And what that means is that the Ouya makers are going to make sure that those who eventually do own this machine and want to play games on it will never ever have to actually pay to begin to play a game. So in other words, there will always be, you know, some form of demo or possibly even a full game, but with microtransactions applied to the experience, and, you know, and things along those lines. And that can be a very, you know, intriguing attraction, especially to us, the gamers, the users, to be able to just play whatever game you want and not have to plunk down a cent in order to do it, but to just be able to, you know, download it from whatever the store is going to be, not the Play Store from Google, unfortunately, but whatever Ouya opens up as the store for this machine. It's going to be great to just be able to download whatever game you want, and if it's a demo, you know, so be it. If it's a full game with microtransactions, you know, same thing. It's a very interesting concept, and one that a lot of people think will ultimately become the mainstay, mainstream way of conducting business between the people who actually make these games and those who ultimately play them. So, a very good idea. Then, when it comes to the controller, it's great stuff. I mean, nothing, you know, along the lines of what Nintendo, you know, had marketed, you know, prior to releasing, you know, launching the Wii with it being revolutionary. The company themselves have stated that this controller is going to be a love letter to gamers. So it's going to be the standard, typical controller that everyone is used to, very much like the Xbox 360 controller or DualShock 3, you know, with the a dual analog setup. It'll have 8 phase buttons, I'm assuming triggers, and probably a home button too of some sort, and start and select, of course, and, you know, the things that we're used to and what we've usually seen in these game pads, and that's great. And but then furthermore, what I've especially been intrigued by, idea-wise, is if this is a Bluetooth controller, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what the wireless communication is going to be, because that's simply the standard way of communication between consoles and their controllers, at least the wireless ones anyway. Given that this controller is likely going to be Bluetooth, will the Ouya controller actually be also compatible with smartphones and tablets that run the Android operating system? And, I mean, that just, you know, breezed through my mind, and I'm sure a lot of other people, you know, have thought this as well. And if that ends up the case, it'll be very interesting, because, as I mentioned, I believe during my last episode, that Niko and NVIDIA are currently, in the midst of producing their own gamepad for Android devices specifically. And if this particular controller has competition by the Ouya controller, you know, it could turn into a very interesting little competition there, and to see, you know, which controller is actually better, who does it serve, what purposes does either or both of them serve better, whatever the case might be. So just something to think about there. Now, to end this off, in the next 5 minutes, we'll discuss what I think are going to be some unfortunate potential downfalls for this machine. The first being, well, the thing doesn't actually technically exist. I mean, Ouya has been announced, there's prototypes for it, you know, both the machine itself and the controller, but it's not available at all in any capacity. So, ultimately, right now, the company has, you know, the money, obviously, of all the donors who have decided to fork over their cash, but this machine is not available. It's not been produced for mass market distribution. You cannot buy it, and it's not even going to be supposedly available until March of next year. Not to mention that even in addition to this console not being technically in existence yet, we don't know of any games that are actually official for it. I mean, of course, there have been a handful of developers, and especially the one of Cannibalt and Minecraft. Those two guys especially have come out and commented on the Ouya, but they have not actually specifically said anything about what they're contributing to the console software-wise. And, you know, I would assume, of course, that those two guys have intention of bringing their popular applications to the box, but, you know, without any kind of official announcement, it's basically moot. So that's just something to think about. And it's also kind of going, piggybacking off of something that I said earlier, this machine is not linked officially to the Google Play Store, meaning, given that that likely won't be the case because, you know, I guess I'm assuming that Ouya won't have that relationship with Google, even though they're obviously using the Google operating system. Those of you out there, you know, who have hundreds, if not possibly thousands, of apps downloaded, you know, to and associated with their Gmail account, you know, along the lines of video games, you're not going to be able to pick up this machine and hop on whatever the store is and actually just go ahead and download everything that you've played on your tablets and or smartphones. So that's just something to keep in mind. You'll basically probably be having to buy some games, you know, multiple times or possibly completely different versions of the games that you've already played, depending on what you're actually looking to do. Simply because, again, the developers will be responsible for creating apps or at least optimizing them for television displays, and especially those of the HD nature, of course. So, once again, something to think about there. Then, of course, you have the idea of, you know, whenever this Ouya would arrive, if it does, that's going to add, you know, to the fragmentation of the Android operating system market. So, you know, I don't know how much you guys are aware of what or of how people actually use Android, but it is not a unified operating system. It is not locked down like Apple's iOS is. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you have, obviously, your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone, those all use the same version of iOS, and basically in the same way, just obviously with the nuances that will, you know, make the best use of the particular device that you're using. But Android doesn't work that way. No matter what, you know, whether you're using a smartphone or a tablet or eventually this Ouya console, there's going to be no guarantee that the operating system, you know, behaves in the same way as it is, you know, on whatever device that you're used to using. And not to mention, of course, that every hardware manufacturer that uses Android on its device, you know, whether it's HTC or Samsung, you know, Motorola, whatever the case might be, you basically never have the same experience on two different devices simply because these companies can manipulate Android however that they wish, and that obviously affects the people that ultimately use their devices. So you have that to think about. Then you do have the notion that even though microtransactions are becoming increasingly popular and may very well eventually take over as the mainstay, you know, mainstream and basically, you know, standard way to conduct business between, you know, software developers and consumers of them, that doesn't mean that it's happened yet or even now. Because quite frankly, based on a whole mess of comments that I always happen to see on both the Google Play Store and even the Amazon App Store, people really are not interested right now in in-app purchases, you know, IAPs. You know, depending on what the game is and depending on how popular it is, how well the game was made to begin with and what it actually does offer outside of those microtransactions, that can affect, you know, a game's reputation positively or negatively. But for the most part, I've seen it be a negative impact, and that's something that I think will be a potential matter of grave concern for those who would especially have to rely on this microtransaction model to actually push, you know, their products to eventually the Ouya users. And, you know, and if you get a very bare-bones game or even a full game, but yet all the great stuff is locked away, you know, under 99-cent microtransactions, you know, it could definitely damage the reputation of this box, I think. Then, of course, you have piracy. I mean, if this console is hackable, and it obviously is, that's what they've said it will be, it's fully open source, hackable, you can do pretty much whatever you want with it. Piracy could be a very big problem, and it pretty much already is, of course, on all of the major platforms, especially, you know, the PlayStation and the Wii, I think. And when it comes to, you know, obviously these software developers, the people who make these Android games, they gotta make money somehow, but if it's so easy for people to manipulate the Ouya operating system itself and to be able to get, you know, to acquire illegal copies of these games, and it's, you know, it's obviously, I'm sure, just as rampant on smartphones and tablets, you know, as it is on even, you know, popular modern day consoles, you know, what's to stop people from doing that on the Ouya as well, and ultimately making this a potential new wave of consoles and experiencing games in a different way just completely moot. It could just be completely irrelevant if people don't actually purchase, you know, these products and everything. So that's something to think about. Then, of course, you have the fact that, especially from the Android standpoint, not many games on the Google Play Store are even optimized right now for tablets and let alone TVs. So, you know, and why is that an issue? Well, the Ouya console is going to be designed to bring mobile gamers back to the living room. And given that that's the case, and if people ultimately, you know, actually do that, these Android game developers are going to then be responsible for doing, having to spend more time, energy, and resources to optimize their games, not just for smartphones, but then for tablets and then larger, you know, TV screen size monitors. And that could spell a bit of trouble for people who especially, you know, are relying so much now, at least on the smartphone and tablet market to, you know, to make their profits, to make their money, and to be able to expand it, what have you, because it does take a lot of time. It's not an easy thing to optimize your games, not just for three different possible displays, but then, of course, for the way, again, that Android is not unified, to have to worry about maintaining that game for especially the smartphone and tablet market, because it's obvious that the Ouya is not going to penetrate especially the gaming market as quickly or as, it's not going to be as widely used for quite a long time. If it does manage to get to that point, it'll take at least probably, 3 to 5 years for the penetration rate to relate to, to reach the millions of users plateau. So that's something also to think about. And then finally, you have the fact that, if you have a smartphone, you likely also have a tablet. And if you have a tablet, chances are, if you're a gamer, you have a tablet that has, that mini HDMI out port, which allows you to hook up that particular Android tablet to your, high-definition television. And that's kind of an interesting thing, because given that that is what the Ouya is going to do as well, and it's not a tablet, is there really an incentive for people who have the tablet that basically will have, the specifications that can rival or, not just rival in superiority, but at least equal the Ouya in its, technical specifications? I can understand, obviously it's great to have, a dedicated box that will, behave differently, and it will obviously have different intentions in terms of what people can actually purchase and games that are specifically optimized for television gaming. But at the same time, are people going to want to plunk down the cash to basically just have a console version of their tablet? It's kind of it's a difficult thing to think about, and I may not have thought that particular, subject matter through as well as I should have, but it just seems to be a little bit redundant. But, who knows? Maybe I'm completely off base, completely ignorant, and just don't really know what ultimately is going to happen that will differentiate the Ouya from the tablet market. But nonetheless, it's something to still yet think about. So, and I realize that the majority of my comments here were about the negative aspects of what the Ouya is going to be affected by, either very harshly or just not so much. But nonetheless, it is a very exciting thing. It's exciting for this idea to have received the attention and the funding that it has, and I do wish the company the best regards in that pursuit, in that endeavor. And I do hope, actually, that it does become a success, because, as you might have seen, in the article that Jared posted on our site this morning, we've never actually seen, really, a console that is basically dedicated to both the developers and those who would be, kind of in the indie scene and the gamers themselves, of course, because it's no surprise, it's pretty obvious that the current console makers, they basically call the shots, they, have the full authority basically over everything that goes on their machines. And it's just extremely difficult for people who want to break into that fold to be able to do that themselves as well, to be able to contribute meaningfully and legitimately to gaming. They can't, simply because they don't have the money. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the people or the money. It just doesn't happen. But this could very well open the floodgates to allowing that to actually take place. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say. And I've really run a much longer time than I anticipated, and I believe that my wife is waiting for me, and I really don't want to disappoint her. So I will go ahead and end this off right now. Thank you for tuning in to Episode 3, and I do realize that I stumbled in my speech here quite a bit more than I had in the previous couple of episodes, but, that's just the way it happened. I'm not going to hit a home run with each and every one of these recordings, so just enjoy the laughs if you did, and I hope that you enjoyed the subject matter and my personal comments related to these things once again that I had found on GameSpot and PC World, and hopefully you'll keep coming back. So thanks, guys. Keep it glued to our YouTube channel, Facebook page, Twitter account, and of course our website in general. And I do thank you for tuning in, and that's it. So thanks, guys, and I'll see you next week.